Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Come have you seated for just 30 seconds to give yourself a little break, and thank you for joining us today. And if you're a guest, just welcome, and we are glad that you are here. Make yourself at home. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you took the time and the effort to log in, and encourage you just to stay plugged in and focused this morning on the Lord. And as we do that, just to give glory and honor to Him today. I know you may have had a lot of stuff going on this week. Several of us just either came home last night late from a men's retreat. Some of us are driving in this morning and came in just now. And then there's some driving in later today. But just a great time of ministry this weekend. If you missed out on that, so sorry you missed the Lord. No shame there. Let me just pray for us as we get started. Whatever your requests are today for prayer, I encourage you to start offering those up to the Lord. Watch the words if you don't know the songs. Maybe even pray through the songs. Look at those lyrics and just know that when we offer praise to the Lord, it really is our offering to Him of ourselves. When we offer worship to the Lord, we really are bowing down before Him and just saying, Lord, just take all of me and combine it with all of you to do all that you can in the world around us. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I thank you for all of the effort and energy that goes into being your disciple. May have been driving to Rio Doso for a men's retreat. It may have just literally been all that we could to get up this morning to either be here or to be online. Lord, those efforts, I believe you bless. Lord, those efforts to connect to you, I believe you multiply to allow yourself to grow inside of us. Lord, hear our sincerity today. Lord, hear our hearts today. Lord, hear our voices today. And maybe even more importantly, Lord, let us listen and hear from you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Lord, as we're here today, I pray that whatever we have planned, whatever our design was for this day, Lord, not just as a worship team, but as individuals, Lord, as we came to this place today, Lord, I pray that we would make room for you. Lord, we would empty ourselves of probably some things that we don't need, some things that we should set aside, not just let go of, that we shouldn't even be involved in, thought processes. Cares that are not ours to be caring for. Worries that are ours not to be worried about. Or that we would pour those out of ourselves and make room for you. It might be preconceived ideas. Lord, we just said, shake up our traditions. Whatever we think we expect you to do and how things should look, how life should go. Lord, let us empty ourselves of that and just make room for you to do your work in us. There's healing that needs to happen. Lord, let us make room for that. There's reconciliation that needs to happen. Lord, let us make room for that. There is forgiveness that needs to take place, yet because of bitterness and the memories that we're holding on to that we just keep reliving over and over and over and over in our minds, Lord. And we are justified because we're hurt. But Lord, let us make room for you to do your work. Let us make room for you to hear from you, to block out the noises of the world, to block out the noises of our own heart and mind. Let us make room for you. Let us make room for you to be the parents we need to be, the husbands we need to be, the friends we need to be. Lord, let us make room for you to be the disciples we need to be this very day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I get ready to, I'm going to pray for our offering in just a minute, and you'll see those up on the screen. But I just want to show you again, we did it a while back, but some of you were not here, so we're going to show it a couple of times the next couple of months. We took up an offering at Christmas Eve it's literally called the Bucket Ministry, and it's water filter buckets that get sent around the world. And so you can see that up on the screen back there. The Bucket Ministry is fantastic in two things. The buckets that we pay for that are $75 a piece, those get sent around the world to different places. And that one bucket for $75 filters 1 million gallons of water. That's years worth of water for families, especially families that, in third world countries where they don't have running water and they're not taking baths and they're not taking showers like we do. It's for drinking and for cooking, just for human consumption. That lasts a long time. But the other great thing about this particular ministry that we partner with is we actually truly 100% get to see where our buckets go. And so this is Kibera in Africa, one of the most poverty-stricken places on the face of the planet, one of the largest slums in the world, if not the largest slum in the world. And so we get to see that. But we also get to see the families that they go to. We get to hear testimonies about them. And then the other thing is, where they're not just getting provided clean water, which is certainly essential, but they get visited by the missionaries that take them those buckets. Not just once, not just twice, but 3 to 5 times in just the few months after the buckets are delivered to talk to them about their families and their needs and about Christ. So we get to, the easiest thing that we can do is give $75 to this ministry, and then they get to, there's places around the world they get to hear about Christ. And so I'm really passionate about it. I think it's one of the best ministries that we've ever done. We've been doing these buckets for years, just not with this company, this missionary organization. They're in Burleson, Texas. They're in the global scheme of things, they're homegrown in Texas. Hallelujah, right? And just as they do that work, I want to pray for our finances as we continue to give. And let me tell you, if you want to give to that again, we're going to do this throughout the year, but if you want to do that particularly anytime, just in your memo of your donation, whether it's a check or online, you just say Bucket Ministry, or to Missions, Bucket Ministry, and we'll always make sure that gets to the right place and those get sent. And there's no delay. Within a week, this is updated, and it shows where that next bucket went. I mean, it's a great, they have done a fantastic job. I don't know about you, I like to know where my ministry is happening, right? I like to know what my money is doing. Not because I'm selfish, I just want to see how the Lord's working. This way we can see it. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to be in partnership in ministry with you. Lord, I am not smart enough to say, Lord, here's what I want to do, you just bless it. No, Lord, I want to know what you're doing, and then Lord, I want to come alongside of you. And Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, it really is about taking the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. It might be through clean water. It might be through a snack pack to the kids in the Cooper School District. It might be through the food bank. It might be through something we do in a Bible study, in a discipleship class on Sunday nights or Tuesday mornings or Thursdays or Wednesdays. Or it might be at the coffee shop. I don't know how, when, and where it's going to take place. But Lord, I want to be involved, and I want all of us to have that same passion to be involved. So Lord, as we give, Lord, to fund those ministries, Lord, to send water around the world, Lord, to help put food on someone's table. Lord, I just want us to be with you, and I want your blessings upon it. Lord, and I want you in your graciousness to bless the givers that allow that to take place, Lord, and not just for the money. Lord, give us a heart to actually, yes, ministry needs money. But Lord, ministry needs the hearts of people and their hands and their feet more than anything. So Lord, give us a heart for the lost. And Lord, and as we seek your will, Lord, I pray that you would show us the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, to follow that up, it is additionally for Sunday. So kiddos, y'all come get a bucket, different bucket, not bucket ministry bucket, but come get a bucket from the front and y'all go collect our special offering. This is what the kids use for their local mission projects. We have two partnerships going on right now. We work with Co-op. We're going to serve our first meal in May, and so we're raising money for that. If we get enough money, we will also take some extra goodies for the kids who will be at that meal. And then we have a partnership going with Cooper North, where beyond just the snack packs, we're doing some other things for the teachers and kids in that school as well. So, kiddos, y'all make sure y'all hit every aisle. No person passed up there. Additionally, as they're going around, I just want to remind y'all, if you are interested in going to the Women of Joy Conference with us in San Antonio next fall, we are still registering. There's information on the St. Luke's website about that, and you can also talk to me or one of the ladies who went last year. All right, as y'all get those filled up, y'all can just take them straight on into the children's worship room. That's awesome. And any other kiddos who want to come join us for children's worship, y'all come on.
If you want the notes for today, you can get those by texting the word notes to that 217-9727. Sorry, you have to put the 806 in there. Anybody still irritated that you have to dial 806? How many of you have to dial the number every time twice, like I do, because you haven't learned yet and you get that number or that recording that says you have to dial the area code every day? And the office hears me when I scream in my office and saying I'm so tired of that lady telling me I have to dial the area code. I'm the only one that cares, right? Okay. I get it. It's just my problem. You can scan that QR code and also get the notes from today. There are more notes in there, I'm just telling you, as I do every week, because if I gave it all to you, we'd be here all day, and I'm going to try not to do that to you. And one day I said years ago, and it really was, it was a sermon on death and dying and just a whole lot of stuff. It was a fantastic sermon, if I do say so myself. One of the most requested sermons of all time for me. And I was talking to someone and I said, my gosh, that's the longest sermon I think I've ever experienced. And he said, me too. Like, I get it. But every once in a while, the Lord has to talk to us and we have to listen, and it takes a while, and we're going to start talking about Jesus in the wild, okay? And so when we say Jesus in the wild, it really is about Jesus in the wilderness, okay? So that wild is short for wilderness, and it's talking about how we can relate to Jesus in the wilderness while we have a wilderness experience. And in that wilderness experience, it's more about how we deal with it and how we come out on the other side of it empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was when it says that in the power of the Spirit, he came forth out of the wilderness. See, that's when it talks about Jesus being empowered by the Spirit more than he was when he went in. I don't know about you, but I want that. I mean, if Jesus was built up in the wilderness, the Son of God, who was God, who had the Holy Spirit, if he had more when he went out, I want that. Now then, the first thing we're all going to say is, I don't want to have a wilderness experience. None of us sign up for that, but we're going to have them. That's just the reality of it. And so let's talk about how we do that. But to do that, I want to start where we left off last week and finish that conversation about this idea of worship. Because when Jesus was in the wild, when he was in the wilderness, he worshiped. Now then, how did that look for him, and how's that going to look for us? It's different for all of us. It's different every Sunday for us. It's different every weekday for us. It's even different moment by moment, I think, even when we're here together on Sunday. I just confess that it's been a long month for me, the last 4 weeks, with a lot of travel, a lot of ministry, and getting here this morning and even singing. My prayer was, Lord, I'm just not feeling it. I need to feel it. I need you, Lord. I need your energy. I need your insight. I need your passion this morning. And so starting, I was in my little 5-minute wilderness. And then out of that, I think I'm praying the power of the Spirit is certainly leading and guiding me at this point. The Hebrew word for worship we talked about last week is to bow down. Now, I know that y'all, if I said everybody start bowing down in worship, that's going to run a bunch of people off and you're going to go screaming into the streets of Lubbock, Texas. But for some of you, you're like, that's fine, I'll bow down. But some of us need to learn to bow down in our hearts too. Not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, head, heart, and mind, that we would submit ourselves to the Lord. And so that bowing down is important. We learned that last week. But also, how to abandon ourselves. Now, the abandonment is probably the harder one, because abandonment, I want to read the definition out of the Webster's Dictionary. This is not a biblical, but this is what it means, okay? And it translates biblically. To give up to the control or influence of another person or agent with the intent of never again claiming a right or interest in it. Not giving up, just giving up control, but giving up to the control of that other person. I'm submitting myself to your will. I'm submitting myself to you. I'm giving you control over my life. So let's dive into the second part of that idea of giving up control. And let's talk about Abraham today and Isaac and this idea that God went to, gave Abraham a directive, okay? We're going to read several passages of Scripture about the story, and I'll explain as we go along. It says, now it came about after these days that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take your own son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I will tell you. So Abraham got up early in the morning and he saddled his donkey and took two young men with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for the burnt offering and he set out and he went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Then Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. What I want to talk to you about this idea of giving up control and this idea of worship when it comes to our relationship with Jesus and how we worship him, this idea of how we're worshiping, there's a clarifying moment in all of our lives where God, he doesn't ever tempt us. But I promise you, and some of you are not going to like this, and you're going to want to argue theologically with me, you're going to want to argue your life with me, come, I'm ready for you, I want to have these conversations. God never tempts us, but he does test us, okay? And now you say, well, that's just mean-spirited. Well, I'll get to that in a minute, but it's not about God being mean-spirited to us, it's about him wanting to know our heart. And all of our testing is different, okay? I think there's levels of testing based upon the responsibility that God wants to give us. I think there's levels of testing based upon the calling on our lives, okay? The way I'm tested may not be the way that you are tested. And the way you are tested may not be the way one of your friends is tested. It all looks different and it acts different. But Abraham was literally saying when he said, me and my son, me and the boy, I like one translation that says, the lad and I. Did y'all know that he was British? No, I'm just whatever. He said, the lad and I are going to go over and we're going to worship. Abraham is literally saying that I'm going to go over, right, and I'm going to abandon myself and my son in the most radical way possible. I'm going to go and we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to give up control and we're going to do what God asks us to do. And in hindsight, it's easy for me to look back and know that Abraham was just being tested. Okay? Because it's hindsight. I can look and I can go to the last part of the story and I can see the end of the story. I can say, oh yeah, this was a test. But when you're right in the middle of a test, you don't know it, do you? You might think you're being tempted. You might think you're going through hell on earth. You might think it's a deep, dark place, a deep night of your soul at the moment. But here's why we need to live in community. Because I can see what you're going through and go, okay, let me talk to you about this objectively. You may think that you are going through hell right now, and I'm just telling you, you know, you're just in a bad spot. This is not as bad as you think it is. This is not what you think it is. This is not the end of the world. This is not the end of your life. This is going to be okay. What is the Lord asking of you? What is the Lord asking you to do? How is he asking you to live in your life? And so while you think you're dying, I can say, no, the Lord is trying to help you and prepare you and test you, right? And what is he trying to teach you? But see, Abraham didn't have that. He had his son. And let me point out to you, I bet right now when you hear that God said to Abraham, go offer your son, your only son, Isaac, you're going, that's a horrible God. That's a mean God. That's an angry God. Why would he ask any of us to sacrifice our children? He wasn't asking him to sacrifice his son. He wasn't saying, go kill your son. Look at the passage of Scripture. He says, go, I'm going to go back. Right? Here we go. He says, go and offer your son. As an offering, go and offer your son. Now, you may have a different translation, and I just want to talk to you about translations at another time. If yours implies, if it says anything about killing Isaac, you need a different translation. Okay, and I will talk to you about that. Come and see me. You can go in this classroom back here in the back. There's a great poster on the wall that talks about why different translations say different things and which one is probably the most literal and I think the best. You can look at that or come talk to me. But it really is just talking about offering, okay? That's a test. It does say go offer Isaac as a sacrifice. It doesn't say go sacrifice Isaac as your offering. You say I'm splitting hairs. No, I'm not. Words matter in Scripture, and I'll get to that in just a minute before I jump ahead. And Abraham knew the ultimate outcome of an offering when it's sacrificed, right? That's death. But it also says that he also knew that God, if that's what he was asking him to do, that he knew God could and would raise Isaac from the dead, because in the chapter before, He had promised Abraham the son Isaac. And Isaac was going to be the heir to Abraham's all the stuff. And he was going to use Isaac in the kingdom of God. And so here's one promise. Okay, I know you and your wife can't have children, but you're going to have one. And his name's going to be Isaac. And he's going to be great among nations. And now you're asking me to sacrifice him. So apparently you're going to raise him back from the dead so you can do greater things than me. Genesis 22, 6 through 8. And Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering and led his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father, notice the exclamation point. Okay? All of a sudden, Isaac realizes, and he's alarmed, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. For us, how do you hear that? He said, so the two of them walked on together. Now look, Isaac has realized, I'm going to show you another spot. Isaac had realized something is not right here. Isaac had realized that it's just he and his dad, and there's no offering. Conversations have to happen. When it comes to worship, Abraham showed that our worship is an offering to God, not because of everything that we can bring to him. It's just that we're being obedient and we're taking ourselves to him. When you come to God in worship, I want you to have the right heart and the right mind. I want you to have the right frame of mind. I want you to do all those kinds of things. But the first thing you have to do to worship is just to bring yourself before him and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let's work this out together. You tell me what you want me to do, and I will follow along. I don't always understand, but here am I. The men's retreat this week, there's so many stories, but the crux of it is four or five of the men were literally on their way, and because of phone calls, text messages, responsibilities, just tired. I don't know what this is going to be like. I'm nervous about this. I don't know these guys. Just all these things. How's this going to go? They literally thought about turning around and going home, right? And just they started having these doubts. They knew they thought maybe they were called. They thought they had all these different things. But when they showed up, oh my gosh, I just can't tell you, the Lord showed up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and just worked in the lives of those men and in my life, just showing up. All they had to do was just get there. Sometimes the hardest thing we have to do, amen, is just get there. It's just get there. How many of your parents ever said to you when you didn't want to go somewhere, well, if you'll just go, you'll start having fun after you get there? Oh, if you'll just go. I don't know those people. If you'll just go. God, I don't know where you're leading me. If you'll just go. If you'll just go. By that I mean this idea of an offering, you have to start thinking of it as not taking. It's an offering. God is never going to take your worship. He's never going to take your heart. He's never going to take your mind. He's never going to take what you don't want to give, because he wants you to offer it to him. He wanted Abraham just to offer Isaac to him. Because why? Because Isaac could have easily become an idol in Abraham's life. Anybody have only children besides us? Let me just tell you. I said it last week. It can easily become family, children, a whole lot of things can easily become an idol. And especially when it's a great gift, right? So glad Macy's not here this morning. Macy was one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us. I don't ever want her to know that. Believe me, she knows it. But it can be. And so he just wanted to know where Abraham's heart was. Who's more important? What is more important? How are you going to live this life of worship in your own life? Because he really was saying, I'm taking my son with me, and we're going to go and we're going to worship. That worship was his offering. That worship was all the control that he was giving away, because he was saying, this is the most radical way I can worship, is just to be obedient to God. Not singing, not raising your hands, not speaking in tongues, not healing, not anything. Just being obedient, and those other things come out of obedience. I'm going to start preaching if I get onto that. So just listen to me. Words matter. Because look, words matter. Because he said there's this idea of offering, not taking. Okay, you hear me say all the time when we have communion, I say, come and receive communion. And if I ever say, come and take communion, I always correct myself. We're not taking anything from the Lord. He's offering himself to us. He's offering communion to us. In Philippians 5, I think it's, doesn't matter. Philippians 5 says that, submit your prayers and your supplications. Words matter, because a prayer is different than supplications. Our prayers, when we say we're praying, Scripture really means we're praying for other people. Supplications means we're praying for ourselves. Lord, here's what I need. Supply me with what I need, but I'm praying for you to have what your needs are to be met. See, words matter, and so you always have to look at that. Genesis 22, now verses 9 through 12. He says, then they came to the place on which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood, and then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called down from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said to him, here I am. He said, do not reach out your hand against the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. See, now we find out that there's a confidence in God's call. And this is where most of us fall away. Because I want you to hear and see that this wasn't just about Abraham. This is also about Isaac. Because when Isaac figured out, now think about this, Isaac is a strapping young man, right? I mean, he's young, he has all the vitality of life. Abraham is 100 years old. Who do you think is going to win that fight? Isaac. I don't care if Abraham does have a knife, right? I mean, Isaac is young and he is fast. I mean, all he's got to do is pick up a piece of wood and knock him in the head. All he got to do is pick up a rock, or all he has to do is run. Abraham can't catch him. Anybody over the age of 70 in here? Let's go have a foot race. I'll whip you. Anybody under the age of 20 in here? Go have a foot race with a guy that's over 70. You'll beat him. Not me, but him. Right? I mean, Isaac could have ran. And so when we think about this struggle that, and I've even said it before, and I was totally wrong, when we think about the struggle that Abraham may have had with Isaac, because Isaac's like, no way! Isaac submitted. He submitted to his father, and he submitted to his heavenly father, because he said, if this is what God's calling us to, I just have to trust. There's a whole lot more that goes along with that, but I want you to hear this is more, that Abraham is not the only key player that he's testing, but also Isaac, because he's talking about using Abraham, but he's talking about when Abraham's dead and gone, who does he use? Isaac. He's testing them both, but mainly it's about that which he's translated, the calling on Abraham's life. And that word bound up really means here that it's a great Hebrew word, but it says submitting without struggle. He bound him up, submitted without struggle. Abraham, Isaac, you, me, are we submitting to God without struggle? Oh no, I'm telling you, I struggle all the time. I fight, I argue, I say I can do it better. That can't be the way you want me to do that. There's no way you want me to go talk to that person. There's no way you want me to do this. There's no way that, no, just all the things. But yet here it says, submitted without struggle. Not without anxiety, right? Not without concern, not without, is this the right thing to do? But yet they did it. And then finally that idea, it says, where the angel said, I know that you fear God. That really was just about purely the trust and obedience motivated by Abraham's heart. Not fear is that I'm scared of you, but fear is in reverence. Fear is in I trust you. Fear is in you know what's best for me, and I'm going to submit myself to you. And it's not a theoretical matter either, because even James, the apostle, he says in his chapter that he wrote, he said that even the faith of Abraham was made complete by what he did. Not by what he thought, not by what he believed, not by what he had heard, not by what he could teach, by what he did. We all have faith. I think we all have belief. I think we're all great Christians. I think we all want to do all of these things. We want the church to succeed. We want people to come to know Christ. But yet, if James was writing about you, would it say their faith was not made complete because they didn't do? Or would it be that their faith was made complete by what they did? It's a hard question, but it's a good question, because then Abraham raised his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. See, when we give up control, we really allow God to give provision. I bet if we went around this room, at least half of us would say, when I stopped trying to do it myself, it got so much better when I listened to the Lord. When I stopped trying to provide everything for my own life but said, Lord, here I am, use me, it just kind of all fell into place. It didn't mean that it was easy. It just got a little simpler. I bet we could do that over and over again. Listen to me. The worship was not over. The worship was not over when Isaac was freed. The worship was not over when Abraham went, whew, glad that's over. So glad as he's hugging Isaac, and they're both in each other's arms. This is the way I envision it. crying and celebrating and loving each other. Dad, I love you. Son, I love you. I'm so sorry that we had to go through this. I'm so sorry that I'm not, but Dad, it's okay. I know that God was calling us and he was asking us and he was telling us, no, I'm sorry, I love you and all this. It wasn't over. It wasn't over because there was still the need for the sacrifice. Here I am, Lord, use me. Now, how are you going to use me? Now, what are you going to provide for me to do? What are you going to provide for me to use? The appearance of the ram shows the obvious to me, and scripturally, it's the obvious fact that God will provide. He will provide. It's not what you think it's going to look like. It may not turn out the way you think it's going to turn out, but he is going to provide if you let him. And if you start looking for his provision. On the men's retreat, somebody said, it would be nice if we really saw the miracles that went on around us because I've never seen a miracle. It's not true. You've seen so many miracles, but you weren't looking for them. You weren't recognizing. Was the ram there before they got there? I don't know, but it just says that God provided the ram. Did he pass by and didn't see it because he knew the path that God had him on? Or did God provide the ram in the moment that Isaac was no longer the offering? I don't know, but he still did it. So what was God searching for? What is this whole idea? God was searching for worship, which means Abraham was giving up control. He was searching for Abraham to bow down his heart and his mind and just say, Lord, I'm here for you. Show me the way. I'll do what you ask me to do, but you have to provide as I go along. Maybe step by step. You've heard, we don't know what we're doing, but we're building the bridge as we go. That's faith. And faith is not this. Faith is not God doing what you ask him to do. Faith is God doing what he's promised you he will do. You may say it again. Faith is not God doing what you ask him to do. Faith is God doing what he promised he will do. He will provide. How? You offer yourself to him. You are the offering. Finish with this, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who seek him. See, we have to take ourselves to him. We have to offer ourselves to him and say, Lord, here I am, use me. I want to say again what Dallas said last week. When it talks about worship, Dallas said that God desires the worship because it draws us closer to him. When Abraham said, we are going to worship, he was drawing closer to God than he had ever been before. Because of why? Because of his obedience and because he was giving up control. God himself inhabits the praises of his people. That's the actions of our worship. Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. Not by what he sang, not by what he read, not by what he believed, by what he did. Right? Francis Chan, a pastor, a writer, author, all the things, he says, it's really about action. It's really about what we do and how we do it. It's like, he says, one time he told his daughter, he said, it's like this. He goes, when I tell my daughter to go clean her room, and then I walk in there an hour later and her room's still a mess. She goes, well, I told you to clean your room. Well, Dad, I prayed about cleaning my room. Right? Me and a bunch of friends got together and we had a Bible study about cleaning our room. And we studied about cleaning. And matter of fact, I can tell you the Greek word for cleaning, and I can give you the definition, and I can parse it out, and I can tell you the word study for the word cleaning. Right? But you haven't cleaned your room yet. Yeah, but I know all. I am a professional teacher on cleaning rooms now. You haven't cleaned your room yet. But you haven't cleaned your room yet. But see, this is where we are as Christians, I believe. We know the Greek words. we can parse out Scripture, we can relate it, we can talk about it, we can sing about it, we can have theological debates about it, we can write great songs about it. But you know what all that becomes? Y'all got your steel-toed boots on today? Because I need to know real quick. It just becomes Christian karaoke. Right? You're just singing along with the words. You're just reading, and we're just studying, and we're just looking. Faith made complete by action. What'd you bring for your offering today? That's the question. What'd we bring? Let's just bring ourselves. Would you just stand and let's just pray? Let's stand in the presence of the Lord. I don't know what the Lord wants to do with that, but I know He wants to do something. And so, Lord God, as we stand in Your presence, Lord, we stand in awe of You. Lord, we sing that, but Lord, we're doing it right now. Lord, we stand in awe of You. Let us make room for You. What is the Lord saying to you? Your pastor has gotten you to the mountain. Your pastor has gotten you to the altar of God. Your pastor has showed you the way that God is leading us. Now then, what is He saying to you? Abraham, Matt, Keith, Felicia, Andrea, Mark, Derek, Ella. He's calling us. And then Abraham turned his eyes. That's our choice. Let's turn our eyes and let's worship Him. Lord, show us the immeasurable worth that You see in each and every one of us. That's what I saw, Lord, that You look at us as Your most prized possession in all of creation, but not something that You possess, something that You ask for. So, Lord, let us go from this place today, taking with us the call on our life, and Lord, asking ourselves, what do we do with it? How can we live it out? How can we act upon it so that our faith will grow, and in the end, that we will be complete in You as you work Yourself out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us online.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.